Okay, good evening. Last week, we got into the whole sugya about Amir La'akum, and what we discussed is Amir La'akum, what the three rationales of Amir La'akum are, whether it's Dabar Davar, whether it's Shlichus, whether or not it's like the Rambam says that Shabbos should not be light in your eyes. Then we discussed, the main thing we discussed was that Gemara and Erevin, with his Leisba Malacha, and the Machlokes Bahag and Ran, that came out of that, whether any Amir La'akum will be mutter, like the Itzer will learn for a mitzvah, or it's only in the case of Mila, and by no other mitzvah could you say such a thing, only that in a case of a shvus to shvus, of two rabbanans, like the Riff and the Ran, learn, then you can do a mitzvah in the case of two rabbinics. The Amir La'akum is a rabbinic, and it's actually a rabbinic law itself too. So that really didn't help us for many, many cases, because most of the Amir La'akum cases we deal with are not going to be in these cases of mitzvah. Right? And to be frank, most of the mistakes of Amir La'akum are not going to be dealing with that. You're going to be having cleaning help. You're going to be having, if there's a kiddush and you have things, or if it's cold or hot, stuff like that. So today we're going to touch a little bit about that. So the Gemara says in Shabbos, Kuf Kuf Aleph, 121. Says the Mishnah.
Aleph.
121a. Kuf Kuf Aleph. Aleph. If you should know that, you should look at the Ma'amakimus. You just indicted yourself.
Yes, I did.
Says the Mishnah. Nachri. A guy. Sheba l'chabois. A guy is... So they heard about a fire. Right? There's a fire. Now, I just want to say, that there's all that Rachmana Litzlan terrible situation a few weeks ago in Israel. This guy came and spoke here. I don't know what the case there is, but as a general rule, right, and this is actually Prokim, the talk of serious Mishnahis and Shabbos, a Jew cannot extinguish a fire, right, unless there is a threat to life. If there's a threat to life, then it's a mitzvah to extinguish any fire. If there's no threat to life, it doesn't make a difference what it could be. Sefer Torah Chas V'Shalom, could be anything. You cannot extinguish a fire. It's an Issa De'Raisa to extinguish a fire on Shabbos. Right? Very, very serious Issa De'Raisa. Doesn't make a difference if God forbid a person's house could burn down. You have to let the house burn down. Now, in most cases in a city, right, it's going to immediately be dangerous for other people. And then, you're not saving your house. You're helping people's lives out. But if let's say you have a house in the middle of the on a hill in Boulder Creek or in the Santa Cruz Mountains, like people we don't have a house, there's no one for a long period there. You can't turn around your house. What would you have to do? You have to surround it with water and not let it spread. Maybe you can't extinguish that to save it. That's not allowed to do that on Shabbos. When the commissioners talk about a house on fire, right? It's not you have to imagine this is like. By the way, in those days. Just to amplify this, there was no insurance, right? You know, possessions took a very long time to build, right? So when you're talking about the mysterious nefesh, not to turn on a fire on Shabbos, right? You didn't get your house burned down. No one was paid. The government didn't pay you. There's no insurance. Right? You had to pay every penny for yourself. So imagine the following. If a guy comes, your house is on fire, and a guy comes near your house, you can't turn it off for sure now. Again, if you're in a city today where we live right next to each other, most likely you would be mechuyev to turn out the fire because it could endanger other lives. Right? If there's any slight possibility of any human being getting, God forbid, hurt, then that changes all this. We're talking about a case where there's no threat to human life. Okay, so now there's no threat to human life, and a guy comes to extinguish. You can't, or a guy's walking by. You say, "In Omer lo come." You can't tell him, "Go, please extinguish the fire, please." Va'al techabe mipnei sheish v'saleu. But if he's going, but if he comes to you to extinguish it, means you don't ask him, right? This guy sees a fire, says, "Oh my goodness!" And he takes it all and starts turning out the fire. You don't have to say him to stop. If he you don't tell him. He goes and does it his own volition, right? You don't have to tell him stop. Why? You're not obligated. The fact that he's Mechal Shabbos, that's not your problem. You can't tell him for the reasons we saw last week. It's Emir Lakum. Oh, Right, Amir Lakum, by the way, I should have just, it wasn't germane, but I was just for the point. Wait, Amir Lakum is not just by Shabbos, it's by any Isra Deraisa, right? If you can't plant a field in Shemitah, you can't have a guy plant a field in Shemitah. If you can't muzzle a donkey or you know, when it's working, you can't, a guy can't do what you can't do, right? If you can't bow, you know, you can't lift nei iver, if it's usher for a guy, but it's something you were forbidden me to do, you can't do. So you, and certainly on Shabbos, which is where the case that we learned are, if you can't turn out the fire, the guy can't turn out the fire, but what he could do is he can do it, you can't tell the guy to do it. If he does it on his own, you're not obligated to stop him. You know why? He's his own free will. He can do whatever he wants. He's not obligated in Shabbos. However, aval katan sheba lechabos, but if a child comes, a child is not yet obligated in mitzvahs, right, comes to put out the fire, ain shoyimelo, you can't let him do it. Why? B'nei sheshvisaso alehen, that because we're obligated to make sure this child doesn't mechal Shabbos. Now, in one, two shiurim for now, we're going to do children on Shabbos. Right? I remember as a little kid, they used to say put a kinnick, the air conditioner, and this and that, right? We'll do that. That's actually, this is one of the, there's other sources to that. This is one of the sources. You see clearly here, you can't have the kid, if the kid goes and starts turning on the fire, you can't have to stop him. If a guy goes to the top of the fire, right? So how in the world would people ever have a kid do it? We'll see, maybe there's a rationale. That's for 2 weeks now. Next week we'll do about Amir Lestal type
sugars. It's only telling us this because you might have thought that it was okay for the minors.
And why would you think that? Because our kids not mechilas.
That's the only reason it's bothering to tell us this.
Right, in this case here. Yeah, that's in this case here. Says of Shlomo Yitzchaki, Rashi. Where's the Rashi from, Sharon?
It's France.
Well, that's sad. It's too easy. Where? Which city?
Provence.
Prevents.
Worms.
No, he already studied in Worms. So, well, the mines, really studied mines, but...
So no help from the...
Troy's. T-R-O-E-S. Y-E-S.
Oh, I thought...
Not Troy. We think really in Greek history. Homer?
Just finished reading Troilus and Cressida, which is taking place in Troy.
Ah, uh-huh, okay.
So that's how it was on my mind.
Okay. Yeah, does they teach you Homer in Israel?
I never heard about this.
You never heard about it. You never
heard about it. Troy, I know the same Troy he knows. I know Troy in France.
Troy's. T-R-O-Y-E-S.
That's right, Troy's. You should know that. That's who puts up. He put it on the map. Ain't on a lokave. So you can't. So it says it's Zakdrashi. He can't tell a guy to extinguish it. Why not? Rabbanan Gazer. Alamir Menachri. Mishum Shvas. Because Amir Lenachri. Shvas. Now, by the way, imagine your $5 million mansion burning down. Why can't you for sure can't do it? You can't tell a guy because of it's a derban to tell a guy. Can't tell him. You're not able to tell him. However, v'lo techaba ain't sarach lamachas biado. Elian chenav kavod. If you don't have to say don't extinguish it. If he comes, if Julio's driving by, if John is driving by, right? Mark's driving by, and he sees the fire, he can get out and you don't have to stop him. You don't have to stop him.
Yes. But it's not telling you about the in between by like the hint, like, oh, what a shame that I can't put my fire out and the whole thing's going to go up in smoke.
You need to learn patience. Why would you think that they discussed that at all over here? Good things come to those who wait. Didn't your mother teach you that to you as a little boy? Right? So, no, it's not discussing that.
I often waited and all the cookies on the plate were gone. This is the trouble. It never worked with
you. So what you failed to realize as a little boy, those weren't good. This is good. Cookies aren't... You didn't miss anything. This is good. So ain't shvisaso shal nachri. The shvisaso of a nachri, that the fact that his shvisa Shabbos, him's not working on Shabbos, is not the... It's not... A Jew doesn't have to tell him, ain't a muzer all shvisaso shal nachri. Unless it's your Eved. If it's an Eved Ivri, or Eved Kani, you can't have an Eved Kani working in your house on Shabbos. That's a halakha about Avdus. Right? Your servants, just like your behemoths, by the way, a behemoth of a Yid, it's, right? One of the reasons you can't give a guy an animal, sell a guy an animal, because they'll use it, or rent a guy an animal, because they'll use it on Shabbos. Right? Your animals and your Avad. But a Stam guy, any guy in the street, you have no obligation that if you see him doing malacha, to stop him, even doing malacha to your things. Now, we'll touch on today if there's a kabbalah, if a contract, if you're making like you know, it's just so much to do. I can't do everything. But like, you know, if you give your car into a mechanic, choose it to work on it, and that type of stuff, or could you Federal Express mail? That's really their shliach, right? Could these type of things all come from Amir Lakum? All the discussions, or you're right? Could you Federal Express something? You give it on to deliver Shabbos day, right? These type of things, right? Are there? I don't think we'll get to it today, but maybe. Says the Gemara. Om Rabbi Ami, says Rabbi Ami, Bedleika Hatiro Loimar, if there's a fire, you can say, Kol Mechaba Eino Mafsid. You can't tell a guy to do it, but you can scream out, anybody turns off the fire, we'll lose out. Right? You scream it out. Now, you can't say, Marcus, turn off the fire. Obama. Right? You can't tell him to close the fire. Start it. But you can close it too. Right? You're going to
be unemployed soon. You have plenty of time.
Right? You can't tell Donald either. Right? You can't tell him, Donald, turn off the fire. What's your political affiliation is of anyone? You can't tell someone to turn off the fire. But you can announce, you know, both Donald and Obama there, sitting there together. Anybody gets the fire will lose. You'll see who does it. Right? Right? You can see who does it. Anyone? Throw it out. Why is that okay? We'll see. Right? Because really, in a sense, you're saying, because you, Judge, you asked for it. The Mishnah says you can't command him. Can't command him. Right? But if he does it on his own volition, you don't have to stop him. What are you doing here? Like, you're almost like prompting the guy to do it on his own volition. You're not telling him to do it. Right? Anybody knows that? Not going to lose out. Right?
So. But it's not saying, as opposed to a command, anybody who puts it out will get $100. It's not as much as that. It's just that you won't lose.
Yeah, I don't want to get to that. Maybe that's okay.
Maybe that's okay.
Yeah, because again, you're not telling anyone to do something. Now, we learned about Schar Shabbos several weeks ago. Right? Several weeks ago. Could you pay a guy for their working on Shabbos? Let's see who this remembers what we learned. Pay a guy?
Working for you
on Shabbos?
Yeah.
Can you pay a guy? Can I pay the group leaders here? No. What about a guy? What do we say? A guy, you can pay a guy.
You can pay a guy.
Yeah. You can pay a guy as long as, because it's not an Isser Makabal, it's an Isser, it's not an Isser to give, it's an Isser to receive. So as long as we said he's not doing an Isser. Mm-hmm. You cannot pay him for Isser. So if he's babysitting, I said, if you want to get a guy, you should babysit for your kids on Shabbos to go for a walk. You can do that. I didn't recommend it, because I don't like having a guy watch my kids. But, you know, I said, it's Mutri Lagamri. If you get a Jew, you have to have all kinds of Havlah, Matana, whatever, all the things we discussed. But a guy, there's no issue to pay a guy. Can't pay them on Shabbos. Pay them half the Shabbos. There's no issue to pay a guy for the work they did on Shabbos, as long as they do an issue that you can't do. If they did a Amir La'akum, right, you can't do that, right? So, whether you can pay them, or depend on whether it's a problem of Amir La'akum. The Gemara then says, a name of Mesaile. I bring you a riot. No, Krisha Balakabas Inom Lokava. A guy who comes to extinguish, you can't tell him to extinguish. The Altachaba, you don't have to tell him not to. When Benesha and Shiva Salah. Kaba Hudulam in a low. Right? You can't say, I'm going to bring to extinguish, but to say Hakomachaba in a mafsid. If you say Komachaba, you could say. I'm going to lay that, you could say. So we see that really the Mishnah says what Rabbi Ami says. Because Rabbi Ami, where's Rabbi Ami from? You're not gonna know this. Where's my iPhone? You should know this. You should know this. You ever visit Tveria?
Sure.
Dinner Rabbi Yochanan. You can see his kever, not far, right? So Rabbi Ami is the Gemara is not trying to say why. You know, Rabbi Ami. It's a Mishnah. The Mishnah hints this, right? Because that says no. Ema Seifa. You can't make that derivation. You know why? It's Al Tzachabel Or Minale. So you can't tell him to extinguish it. And anyone who extinguishes doesn't lose out. Also, you can't tell him why. So either way, the inference can go both ways. So you should have learned that out. Clear? Judge, clear?
Yeah.
Fine. Then the Gemara brings down a story. Tarabar Maisa. There was a story of Enafel, Dleiko Bechaser, Shor Yosef Ben Simai. A fire started on the field of Yosef Ben Simai in Shichin. Shichin's up north. Right? Now you have to remember that in the time of the after the Second Temple, the major Jewish settlement was up north in the Galilee. Right? So Uba anshe gistra shel tzipori. Who lived in Tzipori? Please tell me somebody knows this. Who lived in Tzipori? Who lived in Tzipori?
What are the options?
Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who wrote the Mishnah, in Tzipori. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So there's actually a Roman garrison there. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was part of the time in Tveria and part of the time in Tzipori. Okay? When Mishnah was written, he was in Tzipori. That's right. Actually, it's an important fact. So, Anshe Gista Shal Tzipori, so that the men of the Roman legion of Tzipori came to help Rabbi Yosef survive. Why? To extinguish it. He was like a treasure to the king. So Yosef ben Tzimai, they heard on Shabbos, there's a fire on his fields. His fields are burning. Okay? He can't extinguish it, because again, there's no reason, there's no human threat to human life. Can't do it. The Romans
who voluntarily did this
came on their own volition. Yosef ben Tzimai was a treasure to the Romans, right? So he has a government position. Mm-hmm. So when they heard this, they sent a garrison to go ahead and extinguish the fire. But lo enicha mipnei kavod Shabbos, he didn't let them. He didn't let them. He said Shabbos. What's the Gemara say? Kavod Shabbos, the honor of Shabbos. Now, it can't be Isser. Kavod Shabbos. V'natz lo nes, a miracle happened. The yard of Geshamim, the kibul erev, the kibul, and the like tonight, like it's raining like tonight. A poured rain. The fire went out. So he stopped them, and Hashem said the miracle, and the fires went out on their own. I obviously, if it's a miracle to me, it must have been in the summer, because it must have been a time when it didn't rain up in Israel. So the kibul la erev. Shigar lekoachamehen. Yosef ben Tzimai was a wealthy guy. He had made a kiddush Hashem. They didn't do anything, but he gave every person who came to extinguish shtei salayin. For the parkus, which is like the lieutenant governor, the second in command, shven chamishim. He gave 50 salayim. It's a lot of money. Uchshashamu chachamim. The sages heard that with this whole story. B'davar amru lo. Well, you didn't have to. He says, well, if a guy comes to extinguish, right? You know, you can't tell him to extinguish, but if he comes on his own, do you have to stop him? No. So Yosef ben Tzimai didn't have to stop him. The Marsha says, so what was he thinking, right? What was he thinking? The Marsha says, Lo Amar Mishum Isser Shabbos, Efshar Du. He knew it was an Isser, right? It's a Mishnah, Alashim Kavod Shabbos. That's the language of the Gemara. Kavod Shabbos hichmir al atzmo. Why is this? He felt that people think perception would be that he told them to extinguish it. He was a prominent individual. So the Yerushalmi would be in him. Right? If this garrison can't extinguish it, it said, oh, he's friendly with the Romans. He probably went to them, sent them a messenger, come extinguish it. So in order that people shouldn't think that he asked anybody, you know, this is even before social media, he wanted to make sure, Kavod Shabbos, and he had a miracle. But technically, of course, you didn't have to stop them. Now, before we go further, the important Tosfos says, in Omer lo Kavod, it's on the Mishnah. So the halacha is, right, you can't tell a guy to extinguish the fire. Now, by the way, when you think about Amir la'akum, in lecha hefse gadol mizeh, right, your $5 million mansion could burn down. You're not, it's absolutely, you let it, you, and Amir la'akum is what? It's the Rabbanan, right? Absolutely forbidden to command a guy, ask a guy, beckon a guy, plead with a guy, use whichever word you like, all above, right, to turn out that fire, right? Absolutely forbidden. Not only is it forbidden to do this, that's an unbelievable thing. Afilu b'isr d'Rabbanan. You can't even ask a guy to do an isr d'Rabbanan. You can't even ask a guy to do an isr d'Rabbanan. Amir l'nachim shvatzkid amir l'kama perksha lo yomer adin l'chavero scharli polim. As we saw, we learned this last week. You can't ask a guy to hire workers, right? And the Gemara says even be a chaver nachri because of shvatz, right? So what do you see from here? Right? You can't even ask a guy to do an isr d'rabbanan, right? You can't tell him to do an isr d'rabbanan. Now maybe we saw shvatz the shvatz b'makom hafzigadol, you could do. Right? But if, let's say, a fire is going to burn your chair, And wait, there's a way to do it in Isidore, but in order to ask a guy to, well, let's get into contemporary. Let's say you hold that you left on something which is costing you money, right? You ask the guy to shut it down. Electricity, we're going to hold, and except for light bulbs, we'll get to, you know, discuss last week, it's dura button. You can't ask the guy to turn it off, right? So you say it's two dura buttons, you still can't ask him to do it, right? So Tessa says, you can't even ask him to bite it's a dura button. Mm.
Can't ask.
You can't ask directly. Two shvusim absolutely forbidden to one. Now the Shulchan Aruch says a remarkable thing. The Shulchan Aruch in Shin Zayin Sif Chav Beis. It's actually a Ramah. Not even say you can't do an Issa the Rabbanon. Zak the Ramah expounds the Ramah. Kol Davar Sha'asu Loimer Le'ini Yehudi La'asosu B'Shabbos. Any in the Torah says to a guy, you can't ask him to do it on Shabbos. Also, lirmoizloy, you can't even point. Right? The guy's coming. You're pointing your finger. Get the fire out. You're pointing to the fire. You're not saying. You don't. Still. You don't say. You don't say anything. You point. You're like, you know, you can't do that, right? No, you're forbidden to do that. It's going to Orzeru. Who's Orzeru, Alex?
Orzeru?
No, I'm asking what it means.
Candle.
Who wrote it? Everyone should know this. This is our heritage. Rabbi Yitzchak in Vienna. It's the Rabbi of the Maram Rutenberg, who's the Rabbi of the Rosh. Right? So the Orzeru or the Rosh is quoting, or the Rabbi is quoting here. Now you can't point there. Don't. Is it? Hey, you can't even point at that fire. Of a mutter, the Ramah says this, of a mutter, the Ramah is low, you can, you're on Erev Shabbos, of a mutter is the last melacha achar Shabbos, you can point for something for after Shabbos, or you can hint for something to after Shabbos. The Ramah is, you can hint for something for after Shabbos. What does that mean? Says, the Chavetz Chaim, where's the Chavetz Chaim from? You said he was from? Where is he from?
From here in Pressburg.
Pressburg?
No.
Rodden. Yeah, Svarty can tell you this. Rodden. It's good. By the way, the more you know this, is I half joke and I half want people to know this. Right? It's important to know this. This is like the basics. So the Chavetz Chaim says, Asr Lirmois, why can't you hint? Now, why is it to say? By the way, you could say whoever does this, it won't lose out, right? We can't actually hint directly, right? Let's say you have a code language and wherever you come from. Now, I don't know. He brings this case down to me. It's like I don't know what this case is talking about. You can't say. Clean your nose. And when you're in your town, clean your nose means clean the colds out. You know, wouldn't it be nice to clean your nose? And that's and that language of clean your nose is code language. You know, I'm sure that in many malachas and many, you know, the army must have certain terminologies they use which are euphemisms. You know, the attention like means something else. However it may be. So if cleaning your nose means take the colds and rake the colds, you can't say that. You didn't ask him to rake the clothes. You say, clean your nose. You gotta clean your nose on Shabbos?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course you can clean your nose. You got a tissue, you clean your nose. Not with your fingers. You shouldn't do that during the week as well, right? So you clean your nose, you can do. So, but if clean your nose means that, it's the same thing. The Chai Adam actually says what I just mentioned before, just as important. The Chai Adam says on this, I'm not gonna ask anyone who the Chai Adam was, but you should know it for next time. The Chai Adam says, this is Klal Samech Beis. It's all about Amir La'akum and Klal Samech Beis. It brings actually this case of Kanak Chot with a cleaner nose. Sathi. Chen Kishereitza. One second. I'm sorry. Oh, but feeling Omer Piv. You can't hint him. You don't want to say with your mouth. El Shiram is Lobby Yadov. Right? If you point with your hands, or you say it in a language which is co language, all that's for being Amir La'akum. Right? You cannot. You can't point to it, you can't say it directly, you can't use code language. All of that would be forbidden because of Amir Lakom. Now, there was another Gemara. We saw this Gemara last week, but we didn't get to the punchline. Look at the Gemara in Kuf Nun. Okay, done the Mishnah over there. Says the Mishnah, Kuf Nun Amud Aleph. You can't rent, you can't hire workers for Shabbos. So you adam chaveiro, nor can you tell your friend to hire workers. So let's go to the Gemara, because that's really what's pertinent to us. Pshita. Of course, that's not simple. If you can't hire workers, you can't ask a Jew to hire workers for you as well. Amar of Papa, Rav Papa says, chaveirar nachriya, a gayish, a friend, a Gentile. Matzkeflo Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi argued, what are you talking? Mila Nachri Shvus. Yeah, you for sure can't ask a Gentile. If you can't do it, you can't ask a Gentile also because of Amir Lakum Shvus. That's how we started last week. It's a Durabon to ask a Gentile. El Amar Rav Ashi. Says Rav Ashi, I feel a Temu Chaveri so. Even if we ask a Jewish friend, okay? Hakamash Malan, you can't say to your friend, Lo Yomel Chaveri Scholi Polim. You can't say to your friend on Shabbos, hire me workers. Why can't you do it? Because of the Dabra Dover, right? Of it's business. You can't do business on Shabbos. Hiring workers, if you make a deal, right? Now I'll hire you, right? You know, you're in certain shuls, as I mentioned, you know, a lot of people in the same business, a lot of people in construction, a lot of people in diamonds. You're not doing any malacha, but you can't talk business on Shabbos. You can't say, I'm gonna hire you, we'll do this, well, I'll come this day, I'll pay you $50 an hour, blah 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 blah. Oh, you can't do. So no, you can't ask your friend. Aval. So, and you can't ask a friend to do it for you. If you want, you can meet me tonight. But the Ramah said you can do Ramiza for after Shabbos. It's coming from this Gemara. If you want, you can meet me tonight. Well, why else are you meeting the boss Saturday night? Why else are you meeting? He wants to take you to pizza. If the businessman says meet me Saturday night, if I'm having oven, what you're doing, right? You can meet me Saturday night. Who's the Mishnah like that says that you can go ahead and so let's see Rashi's one. See Harashi Hanira. See Rashi Hanira. He saw him come meet me tonight, and everyone knows why he's trying to come meet him. He wants to hire him. But came under the mafarish behedia. You're not saying on Shabbos explicitly, "I like to hire you." You're saying, "Meet me Saturday night." Now, there's no in that language. Meet me Saturday night. There's no malacha. Because the farish on the common, with the gemara sailing on, why is it okay? Divar aser. Davar's officer to speak out business on Shabbos Esther. Hear mutter. Which zemer is it in? Hear horim mutterim. Vashad echabanos. Which is mirrors? Or in six mirrors?
Yorim mutterim.
What's that? Which is mirrors? Which one is that?
It's
like a son of God.
What's the name of it?
Yeah, what are you saying? Okay. So har harim or mutter? Yeah.
So why do you have to go so far? I think I read in Beitzim or something like that like on Yontif you could go to the butcher and you can't say give me 5 pounds of meat, but you can't say to him give me $5 worth of meat, but you can say give me 5 pounds of meat. Without expressing they're not talking about what the price is,
right.
So it's sort of unclear. And they'll work it out afterwards, or they'll all assume it's going to be okay. That the guy will pay because he knows that the seller is not going to have an unusual price. It's going to be whatever. So that's very close to doing business, but because they don't mention the price specifically. I'll meet you on Sunday night.
You're forgetting. You're indicting yourself.
Yeah, I'm not indicting.
It's not worth it tonight. Yeah. We discussed this Schar Shabbos before. Like, could a mikvah charge or ask for a donation for the mikvah? So if you have a benefit on Shabbos, you're not conducting business. You're paying for your benefit. post Shabbos, right? That's something else, right? Here, you're having no benefit on Shabbos. You're doing business, right? That we actually, in passing, touched on that kind of
business. I see. Oh, because the work is not going to be done on Shabbos,
and there's no benefit that you can pay, right?
No benefit.
No, it's not a physical hana. There's no pleasure. We discussed it with the restaurants. All these restaurants that you know. Like, that's a little bit different. That it's a good question, but it's a little bit different.
Yes, okay.
So what Rashi here is saying is that you can tell the guy, he remains at him. So the one that says, Amar Rabba Baruchana, Rabba Baruchana says the name of his teacher, Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha, Rabbi Shuman Karcha Oymer, Masisimar, who's the Mishnah like? Rabbi Shuman Karcha, like Rabbi Shua Ben Karcha, right? Rabbi Shua Ben Karcha, who the Tanya Lo Yomer Ad L'Chavero Hanira Shetamod Imi Le'Arev Rabbi Shuman Kar Chomer Omer Ad L'Chavero Shetamod Imi Le'Arev. That with the Machlekes, one opinion in the Bible says that you can't do that. Rabbi Shuman Al Karcha says you could do it. Omer Rabbi Baruchana Amar Rabbi Yechon Halacha Rabbi Shuman Karcha. The Halacha is like Rabbi Shuman Karcha. If Yamer Rabbi Baruchana, Rabbi Baruchana says, why is what's the reason of Shuman Karcha? You can say to the guy, meet me at night, right? That, not saying what it's for. Even though everyone, you and him both know you're meeting to close the deal, right? And typically you can't talk business on Shabbos. Says the Pasuk says, Dikso Mimso Chavtsucho V'Dabar Davar. Dibar Aser, hear her mutter. You can think in business on Shabbos. I'm not no one's recommending it. So means Chassidus not to. It's an act of piety not to. So when you know, what's usher to do on Shabbos? To articulate. To read, to articulate, right? V'daber daver, to speak in business. If you want to think in business, you're not a holy Jew for doing that. But it's mutter. When you say to the guy, meet me tonight, did you speak business?
But there must be some daber daver in order for you to even say that, right? In order,
right.
Because, you know, the guy obviously came up to you and said, let's do some business. You said, meet me tonight.
No, you can't do. Let's say, two people in business. Sharon knows someone that he's in business, right? this guy's worked for him 10 times before. You go to the Shabbos, I'd like you to meet me tonight.
It's the thought.
It's the thought. So you're right, there could be a circumstance where you can cause Dabra Dabra, but that's not talking about that. The Gemara is saying, you go over to the person and meet me tonight. That's it. You don't articulate anything more. So that exactly, it's all you're doing, is you know and he know in your head, you haven't articulated anything of the sort, okay? Is that clear?
So you know, he knows, but maybe no one else knows. I thought your example was everybody knows.
No, everybody saying, means the parties involved.
The two parties.
Yeah, the parties involved. Yeah, just to clarify. Okay. So, with this in mind, the Mishnah Berurah says, it's just Shin Zayin, Chaf Tes. Actually, let me just see really quick. Shin Zayin Zayin. 3077. Says the Mechaber, Mutalom Lechaver Harnir Be'enecha. Shetuchalom Elamech. You see a friend in your eyes, you can tell him, come meet me tonight. Afal Pi, Shemetoch Kach Maven, even though from this, the guy understands, Shetzarech Lola Erev Leschachro. He really wants him. Right? If many parrots sees Yehuda Elimelech. Does Yehuda come to my house tonight? Right. Well, actually, he probably by many could have been to give from a lot of Malka, but you know, let's say that's another. You know, he knows. Yehuda knows. What's he talking? He needs him for Mashkiach. What's it going to be? Right? Aval Amrlo, Lo Amrlo, Hey Nachan Imilo. You can't be specific. Let's work it out. You can't say, "Oh, come to the house and we'll work out details tonight." That you can't do. That's already too specific. Come meet me tonight. You think I think wouldn't say anything wrong? It's not Dabar Dabar. Okay. So on this, Chafetz Chaim says in Chaftetz, "Kevin shemefarish behedi, since you didn't explicitly say rak derech emes, letzorech moitzei Shabbos." Second clause over here. It's for Saturday night. It's not for Shabbos. It's for Saturday night, right? You're saying it remes for something Saturday night. Have you rak b'chol? Hear her. Deshari. Right? Don't say have a nachon to me. Let's work things out. Come to my house and we'll work things out tonight. That's v'dabar dabar. That's v'dabar dabar. Come meet me tonight for Motzei Shabbos. You can do. So what do you see here? That you can go ahead and have tell a guy, meet me tonight. You didn't say it, but what does, is that? That's only when does that work? For Motzei Shabbos. Can't tell him for Shabbos. It's not going to help you for Shabbos. And yeah, you have to see here that Hirhor, thinking, even if you don't say it, is okay. Very important is so, but why Shabbos not? Lamaisa, let's go back to Mishabura Ayin Vav, after the Sifchav Beis. I stopped in the middle. I didn't finish. Says the Chavetz Chaim in Ayin Vav. Now what do we say? You can't do remiza. Remember what I said? You can't tell a guy you clean your nose if it means to rake the cold, remove the cold, right? You can't say, you can't point, as the Chai Adam says, as well. So in the middle of Mishabura Ayin Vav, the Chavetz Chaim says a bombastic thing, and this is really, this is what makes him break remiza. Ach kishoimer haremiza le'ene Yehuda. If you tell a guy in a language, in a word, where it's a shelo b'lashon tzivoy, right? Not in a command. Could go in shomer. You say, haner eno meir yafe. It's not, the light's really not working well over here. It's not really working over here. Well, eno yachol likros l'or haner sheish bo pecham. Right? You know, there's the coal is blocking the light. It's not a good, the light's not great in here. Right, you don't, now you didn't ask the Gentile to turn light, you just, you know, it's a little bit, the light's not great in here. And the guy then hears this, you didn't ask him to do it, you just say, you know, it's a little dark, Shari, it's mutter, why is it mutter? This is not considered an amira, right? Now, I have on the side here that the Sheva Talevi or Vazner was a posek, a chesusha posek in Bnei Brak, which is nifted at 100 years old. Says that you can't say, I can't do this. You can't say, I can't do this malacha. Because that's already, you articulate the malacha. Right, you just say, oh, it's, the light's not great here. You can't actually articulate the malacha you want to happen out.
So obviously the context of Pesach is very important. So for me to go next door to my neighbor.
Wait, not yet. We can't do this yet. No questions yet. Because you're going to, anything, just wait. Because this is very detail-oriented right now. Because it's not like some blanket hetzer yet. Or all right. So you can say, that's not bechlal amira. The ain lesser mitam, shenena melachasasa. It says in the which we're going to see in a second, there's two issues by Amir Lakum, by the way. It's two major issues. One is, you can't ask him. Number two is, let's say you're in a room and it's pitch dark. Okay? If John comes and flips on the light for you, you can't read there. You didn't ask him to do that? You never told... Is that Amir Lakum there, survey says?
No.
You can't benefit from when a guy does something specifically for you, right?
If he did it for himself.
Wait, stop! Right. Stop! Didn't you have a teacher any younger? Wait, I didn't say anything about that yet.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So there's two major issues whenever you're dealing with Goyim. Number one is asking him, and number two is even if you don't ask him, if he does something specifically for you, there's an isser to benefit from it until after Shabbos. You cannot benefit from after shot. So the Chotchan then says, "I is no hana here for by do it." The ends of hana kol kach. The guy mekoled him hayayachol apiat chach because he said that it's not so light. There's light. It's that the candle is not great. But if it be pitch dark, you can't do remiza. Okay. This is the first error. Ami haaretz, ignorant people do in Amir Lakum, which is major. Whenever, even if hinting is okay, you can't hint if it's a clear benefit for you. Okay? If it's a pitch dark room, right, and you would like to read or say Birkas HaMazon, hinting doesn't work. Okay? Because another problem of irrespective, which we'll get to in a minute, of benefiting from a guy who does something from you. So it can't be a benefit which a guy does specifically for you, which we're going to see right. We're going to see right now. So this case, the Mishnah Berurah says, you know what, this is okay. It's not the light's not great, but there's light. You can technically read there. You can technically read there, right? I actually saw this at that. There's a Rabbi Kaganoff, who is a Rav in Yerushalayim. He said a lot of stuff. He's very good. He said he was in a hotel in Eretz Yisrael for family simcha. So he went to the shul. He went to the shul in this hotel. It's a religious hotel. And it was dark. The shul was dark. It was Shabbos morning. And he started to learn by the window. And he figured that, like most places, they run timer. There'd be timers. When the timer goes, he'll be able to read normally. That's not what happened. He said, no. As he's learning there, a half hour, 45 minutes before that, I mean, a Gentile, an Arab, comes into the room, turns on the light. Turns on the light.
For the
shul. That's how wherever this hotel functioned. He said, if you weren't
He would have turned the light on even if there was nobody in the room.
Yeah, he turned it on for the Jews. He's turned on specifically for Jews. He said he could barely see by the window. He said for anyone else who is not near the window, they'd be forbidden to read in there. And he said even when it gets dark later at night, right, it'd be forbidden. You can't have a guy turning on the lights for a Jew.
Even if they didn't know about it. What? If
he did it for them and they find out, I mean, you know, you don't have to do investigative research, but if they find out, it's forbidden to use.
We mentioned the Gemara earlier. Whoever puts out this fire does not lose.
Right. Whoever puts out
this fire will not lose.
Right. What did he do? Right. No.
He screams out. Whoever puts out the fire will not lose out.
Right.
Direct Hana. He will receive direct Hana by the person putting out the fire.
So here's what's the important thing. Hana here doesn't mean you saved your money. Hana means I can't read in this room, and now I can. If the fire gets put out on Shabbos, you have no benefit that you did on Shabbos. You saved money, but you have no benefit. Right? You understand the difference? Yeah? And we'll get to that in a minute. But let's just go. First, I just want to do it's important just to see the machaber by another. So the Shulchan Aruch is very important. This goes way beyond the Mir Lakum. Is Reish Ayin Vav Sif Aleph. Really, I can tell like weeks on this, but I don't want to, but it's like there's so much here, it's
maybe
great.
You for, maybe you have 15 guests coming for lunch, right? So you do get mentor shots.
Oh, because they saved your house. Yeah. That's smoky anyways. What's there? Tell them to eat somewhere else. It's not a benefit. The guests would rather be not invited anymore. Yeah, Reish Ayin Vav Aleph. Got it? Reish Ayin Vav Aleph. Sean, you're slow. Like an old man over here. Pick up the pace. Got it? Says the Mechaber, Einu Yehudi. Shehilik is an Eretz Yisrael. The guy comes and turns on the light. Shehilik is an Eretz Yisrael. He does it for a Yid. Asa l'kol. It's everyone's forbidden to use it. Elafil misho l'hudluk b'shilo. Right? He came in, right? A guy sees a Jew in the room. One Jew turns on the light. No Jew in that room afterwards can do it. I remember a few years ago, it was dark. The shoshah hall lights went off. So I went to get a guy. I said, absolutely not. You won't be able to bench. Right? You can't bench with the lights on. Now, I told them, get a guy after Shabbos. Or someone could say, Baruch HaMavdik, like for bench, you can turn it on. But if it's, you can't turn on the lights. And then for anyone, afterwards, it's usher. Right? Then chiluk bezeh, I don't get the whole thing. It just, they bring it down if the guy lights it for himself. Right? Let's say the guy is, it's a shared room, or you have someone who wants to read. If he lights it for himself, right? It's mutter.
Just even for a few seconds.
Yeah, if he wants to read, it's mutter.
You give him a book and say, please read this. How can I read it? The lights are on.
It's mutter. And then he talks about if there's a room of Gentiles and Jews, under what circumstances is it okay or not? Is it not okay, right? You know, we started at 8:15, right?
What?
You know, we started at 8:15.
9, no?
No.
Wait, it was 9 in the...
8:15.
In the calendar, in the...
Oh, I didn't see that.
In the bottom section, yes. You're right, in the bottom section. It's the listed as 9.
In the meantime, we're...
Okay.
We're
Soon. Gets Harpsius and he gets Symptometer. So the Machaber just will talk about if it's a majority Jews or non-Jews. Actually saw once that the following case that there was a shul in Yerushalayim and it was Simchas Torah. And it was the lights didn't go on. The breaker got jumped. It needed someone to fix the breaker. And they asked the rabbi, he said not really. He didn't want to turn on have the lights on. You know, for whatever reason. Somebody came with a great idea. He said, why don't we do this? Tell a guy. So what's important to know is you can't, what do we say? You can do remiza, which is indirect, but you can't ask a guy to come. If you ask a guy to come, it's almost like you're tzivoy him. It's like a tzivoy at that point. When you get a guy off the street to do hunting, it doesn't work too well. Because according to most poskim, that's ki'ilu a tzivoy. So what should you do? Ask a guy to come into the shul to have a drink. Offer him a good beer. Give him some scotch. Say, John, Julio, Juanita, ask me for you to drink. They're going to come to the shul. They'll want to turn on the lights for themselves at that point, right? For themselves at that point. If it's for themselves at that point, you could even do a remise at them. You know, what, if you want, you know, it is dark here. It's a little hard to drink, but, you know, you can't ask the guy to turn on the light. But once you get him to come, and he has a reason to do it himself, and he turns on the light for himself, that would work, right? But I'll call upon, this is very important. You always have a second problem in the middle of the is that you can't benefit. You can have it if it's a benefit. Now the Mishnah Berurah says.
Even if it's a certain mitzvah that happened?
What? What, to dance in the lights?
Not dance, it's just in the shul.
No, I actually mentioned that last time with Reb Aaron on Lake where they turn on the lights. So if there would be a tzarchei mitzvah, the details of the case I didn't see there. But the point is, the Rav felt it wasn't tzarchei mitzvah either because of Simchas Torah. There's enough lights coming from the outside; it wasn't going to be dangerous. It just was not geschmack, it wasn't geschmack. So he said we don't need to turn on the lights. So if it would be the only shul and it'd be pitch dark, I would say you can ask a guy to turn it on. That's tzarchei mitzvah. They won't be able to daven unless people know Baal Peh. Right, but in this case, there was no reason. But there's another aid, so the guy said, it's very good. Get the guy to come in for his own good. And then you can have Ramiza to do it. The Mishnah Berurah says, Shehelik, Yehuah din l'kol malacha shi'asa in Yehudi b'shvil b'Shabbos Yisrael, any malacha that a guy does for a Yid on Shabbos, is also l'kol l'hanes miza. You cannot benefit. If a guy does something specifically for you, he's only doing it for you. It's also lahanes mizah, and it's also midrabbanan din yamutu lahanes yom lahalik. And why is it forbidden to benefit? So chazal or goyzer, if you could benefit, you'll tell him to do it. The minute you have a benefit, right? If you can tell a guy, and how do I know this? Because with people who ask the guy to plug in the plata, to move the urn. To turn on the light, of course, once they can benefit, they ask the guy to do it. So Chazal want to block ever asking a guy. Say, Aser, I'll benefit. You're not allowed to benefit from a guy when he goes ahead and does something to you. The Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbuch in Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa. So he points out, he goes through all about Remiza. And then he points out I'm just going to jump into it. Vafki amar sheyesh shemutter lirmoz lanachri. You can go ahead and hint to a guy. How can you hint to a guy? If it's indirect hint. You can't say the malacha. You have to just say, what could you say? What was the case you said, Mr. Brewer? It's a little dark in here. It's dark. What was the case? It was there's some light. The light was enough light. So he brings the Mishnah and says, "You still can't have a benefit if a Nachri does it for a Jew, if a Nachri does it for himself, if he needs light to read himself, then you can benefit. If he does it for a Jew, you can't. But he says that's only of a Hana, which is Yeshira, right? Which is a direct Hana. A direct Hana, right? It's dark, and eternal lights I cannot read, right? So what are the Chavetz Chaim said? If it's the lights, it's, you could read, you have to squint, to read up there, you can read, just as not geschmack, that you can do. That's like, that was the case of the Mishra, right? Mishra said that if you do Remiza, and you could have read anyways, that's not, that doesn't apply to this Reish Ayin Vav of Hana. Okay? So, as that's not considered direct benefit. So, based on this, says Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach and Shemesh Shavuz Kolchas, Mutter Loim Elenachri, B'Shabbos, right? You come into a room, and the lights are on. Did anyone ever say that happened to somebody? Forgot to turn off the lights in a room? Right? Can you turn off the lights in the room? So, Kosh Elishon, Yeshua B'Chidr. So you have a, you know, you have a guy. So you can't benefit from a guy. You can't ask him. But if a guy does something, which it's not a direct benefit, like the Shlomo Zalman understands, like your case of Kibbutz, if a guy turns out the fire, did he benefit you directly from Malacha on Shabbos? No, right? You may have saved you money. But you're not doing anything based on that, right? It doesn't change your who you are based on that. Says the Shlomo Zalman of Bamba Chiddush. Not everyone agrees to this. That if the lights are on, you say to the guy in a remiza, right? It's really light in here. I'm certainly tired. Right? And he understands to turn off the lights, right? You can do that. You can't tell them, why did you turn the lights last week in my room? You know, something people have asked for. You can't say to the guy, why did you turn the lights off last week in my room? Because even to mention from last week, that's the kind of remisa you can't do. We saw that remisa you can't do like that. Why is there Shlomo Zalman Arbach saying that you can turn the lights off in a room? Because could you sleep technically with lights on? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I can't, but maybe you can. Mm-hmm. I may put my blinders. There's a way to sleep with that. Could you read it in the dark? No, you can't. One is direct, unquestionable benefit. Right? If you want hot food, they plug in the plug. You get hot foods, right? There's a way no around it. But here, Shlomo Zalman Arbach saying it's like the case where there's some light, just not very light. Remiza works in those kind of cases.
So he's saying that you can get secondary benefit even when the guy doesn't get primary benefit?
No. Exactly. If you have a secondary benefit, in any case where a guy gets primary benefit, it works. Oh. If you get primary benefit, it doesn't work. Right. If you get secondary benefit, it does work with remiza. You can't mention the malacha again.
You get secondary benefit with remiza, right. Even if the guy gets no benefits.
Right. Now the question...
How is it different than the Mishnah Berurah then?
What do you mean? It's a huge chiddush. Here you're saying you can turn off the light completely.
No. Over there, you already have light, and you're putting more light. Oh, because here it's complete kibbutz, yeah.
And in fact, you just because of you, I mean, there's many people that argue this. I'll pick one.
It's an existing light you just make bigger. How does it work in the Mishnah Berurah?
Yeah, you're not
putting another light.
You're,
right?
Yeah, you're taking away the coal, which is blocking out the lights.
Okay, yeah.
So as far as the shul, they could see inside. They could dance still. So based on this, because they could already see.
Yeah, but you can't. Oh, so no, they need the guy to get in there, though. So once the guy got it, you can't ask the guy to come. Because asking. See, the problem is when you have a guy, you know, with a guy, I mean, when you talk about errors, let's just be very frank. Here's the errors with the guy. I mean, they do remiza in case there's primary benefit. Okay? It's a dark room. It's plug in the plata. There is no way to hint to a guy to plug him to a plata. Period. Okay? You cannot say, ooh, my food is cold. Right, that doesn't work that way. You can't do that. I mean, people do these kind of crazy things. You cannot do that. But there's another. But on top of that, in your house now, if the guy wants hot food, oh, my food is cold, and your guy is eating the hot food also. Maybe that's something to talk about, brother. Right? So I don't want to get into specifics like that. But it could be if the housekeeper's not gonna have her hot food, she's gonna be annoyed. So she wants hot food, and she puts it in for herself. That may work. When you get a guy, you know, Go look for a guy in the street. Gotta find a guy. You know, most people don't have living housekeepers. Or not, you know, they start looking up and down the street for some, you know, Mexican, Chinese, American, Yankee, you know. And also, the guy walks in, doesn't know what in the world hit him. You know, like, you know, can't point, because people point like they think they're not doing it. Like, we just saw Chai Adam, that's forbidden, right? You're pointing, like you know, the guy's trying, like, what are you doing, you know, right? Again, we're not talking about what you have, it's a mitzvah, or for sick kids, blah, blah, blah. We're talking in regular case. So, you can't get a guy off the street to do it. It never works that way. Now, if a guy, I guess, you offer him a drink, your neighbor, you know, he has a benefit, then you can do remiza. Unless, when can you do remiza to a guy off the street? If it's a secondary benefit, then it would work. Right? It's a secondary benefit you can do. Primary benefit, you cannot do. Why can you do secondary benefit? If he comes in, right, and you're not asking him to do it, so you need to get him in there where he thinks he has something to gain. I want to talk to you about something. And comes in there for that. And in the middle of you, as you're talking to him about some kind of side topic, you bring up this type of thing. Back to this case of the closing the lights in the room, right? So with it, he says two things. One is, you can do Amir al-Akum. Now, I should point out that some say if he comes into the house from the street and you do remiza, it doesn't have to be like he actually drinks or something like that. It's just like he comes in, you know, but you can't come out and you talk to me about shabbos. That you can't do. That for sure you can't do, right? If you come in and you got to bring a guy to the house, I'm a religious Jew, I keep shabbos. And you say, oh, by the way, the room can be lighter. Why did you pull this guy off the street if not?
Then why are you pulling him off the street? For what reason? Is it not clear?
Right.
All of a sudden, after 3 years, so
that's where the problem is. If you have a living housekeeper, it works a lot easier. Right? If you have a Shabbos guy, if you have a Shabbos guy who's a neighbor, you know, or she'll have a Shabbos guy, but to bring some random guy, like the guy looks like he's worried he's going to get kidnapped, like looking at you like, what do you want from me? Like, you know, he's scared. Into your house is lo pashut bichlal.
But what's it? But with the Shabbos guy, it's even more explicit that you're bringing him.
No, he's in the shul anyways. He's most of the things the Shabbos guy does is he's cleaning the floor. It's no malacha deraisas. Most Shabbos guy and they clean the house in the shul. You know, I want to grow up in a shul. They had a permanent guy. You know what this permanent guy did? He cleaned the shul after kiddush. He threw out the garbage. Many things he did were just stamazai. You know, people want to go home. They clean the house.
You're not your Shabbos guy. You have your go-to guy.
Your go-to guy, yeah.
Go-to guy, the guy that you call every time you
do something. The guy who's there on Shabbos. No, no, no.
Don't put the guy you always do the remez with on Shabbos.
Yeah, oh, he's in there on the show on Shabbos. Yeah, the Colin Powell's of the world. Exactly.
Can you teach him this halachas before Shabbos?
Can you tell him that you're not allowed to hear and then you're not allowed, and then it will get quicker? It's not so simple at that point.
But in shul, he's being paid the responsibility like for air conditioning, hot places. It's his job to maintain that the AC's on.
Yeah. So, the all of those things should be on timers, and he shouldn't be doing without getting into other kulas. Okay, so on this Rosh Hashanah Zalman, Rav Zilberstein, who's a Rav Yoshev Salam, was one of the big rabbanim in Bnei Brak, called Alin Lishabeach. Many Sfar, he has a whole book, Sefer on Amir Nachri, and he quotes his father, Rav Yoshev, as arguing on Shlomo Zalman. And one of the things he argues on him is he says that there's a chi of macha. Right? The Mishnah Berurah says that if a Jew sees that a guy is doing something specifically for you, you're chayv to be moicha, right? You're chayv to be protest. If you see, like, just a guy, if you think a guy's going to turn the light for you, you're chayv to be moicha. So Rav Yoshev, right? So this is different. When a guy turns off the light for you, it's different than the case in the Mishnah Berurah. Why is this? I'm going to skip the whole thing. He says, Le'or says, in lo zanachri, ha'or ma'fri lisha. You can't say, like the Chav Shlomo Zalman said, the light's blocking me from sleeping. Why not judge? So in the Nachri do it. Mishun Shah Kiboy, closing the light is a completely new thing. You close light. It's now dark. He says, or you see, you left the gas on. That danger. Right, you can't. Oh, the gas is on. Right, you can't hint it that to him. Those are completely new things. Adding on, taking away the blocking thing is not a new thing. But to do something completely new, so Eliyashiv understood that as problematic. Does that make sense to you? You're saying that would be a new thing.
Because he disagrees with
Shlomo Zalman. Yeah, Eliyashiv argues with Shlomo Zalman about closing the lights. I will say, even in the world of Rav Eliyashiv, let's say you hold lights are derabanan. Mm-hmm. Now it depends on your lights. If it's incandescent lights, mm-hmm. they're deraisa. But let's say you have fluorescent lights, right? And so those you hold that's derabanan. And if you're not going to sleep, you probably won't fall asleep, even though technically you could. So be shvus the shvus b'makom tsar. Right, so if you're a mitzar, if you can fall asleep anyways, just it's not as geshmak to you, you won't be able to do it. But me, I cannot sleep. You know, I will keep me up the whole night. Right, and so if I had fluorescent lights, it'd be shvus to shvus makom tsar. That we learned last week. That's not a regular hinting thing. You know, Ramesha has a tshuva in Igros Moshe where he talks about. It's a hot day. Could you tell a guy? Oh, it's really hot in here, right? You want him to open the air conditioner. It's really hot. It's really hot in here. So he says, you saw the Mishnah Berurah says you can hint to a guy who's in your house, right? So the best thing is if they're in your house. Again, getting me into your house is not so poshut. You rely on lenient opinions to get them in to the Remisa. You can't say I'm a Shabbos observer to get them. You need to get convinced to come in. You know, for a different reason. Don't tell them it's because you keep Shabbos. Let them come in. Now, if they're your neighbor and they know, that's fine. And they're coming as your neighbor. But to get some random guy down the block, it's like, you usually have to tell them why I keep Shabbos, they need to do something for me.
Even though the neighbor knows that he's only coming in because he needs help on Shabbos.
Because we're talking about only things where there's not direct benefit.
Yeah.
So there's no Amira. It's only Remiza. There's no direct benefit. So your neighbor, you can't hint him to plug in the plata. That never is going to work. You can't tell him, you can't hint him. None of that.
Yeah, I just think it seems to me that when you knock on his door at 10 o'clock at night, it's the same as the Amira.
What's the Amira? So that's you have to be careful about, you know. I want you to tell John, I need to show you something now. You didn't tell him anything. Whether he figures that out or not, that's your problem.
Well, where's the line between direct benefit like plata and turning off the light?
According to Shlomo Zalman Auerbach?
Yes.
So according to Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, he says, if it's a new reality, of something you couldn't have done otherwise, like plugging a pot, you will not have hot food otherwise. Right? So
because potentially you could sleep?
Exactly. That's what he's holding.
So it's turning something on as opposed to turning something off.
You cannot read in a pitch dark room. So that's a direct benefit. That's a primary benefit.
Is it the right to say I'm a second order benefit? In other words, if you're seeing someone turn off my oven so that I can eat my food, so you don't care, you know, it's not the oven that you want turned off, it's the food that you want access to. Let's just say you don't have it on your Shabbos time or whatever. The light's going to come on when you open your oven door.
So you can't, the only way you can get to your food is with the ovens off. So it's impossible to get there otherwise.
Right, but it's not the second
order. I'm not saying that's true, but if that would be your case, yeah.
Even though it's an indirect benefit, it's a second order benefit. So you can't have the guy do something, the kind of first order benefit, even though that your benefit is
Pashas, right. And he's doing it for you, right. So you have to remiza in a case where you could have done it anyways. It just makes it better. Like sleeping. Like making it more late instead of having to squint. All of that's okay. So Moshe talks about having the air conditioner. The mice, you could stay there without the air conditioner. Right? So maybe if you hint, it's really hot here. At the secondary benefit, right? Does that make sense? That kind of question that he's asking. And he quotes the Mishnah Berurah that we saw. Now, by the way, with the plata, if the plata was not plugged in, you wouldn't have hot food. One could discuss plugging the plata is derabanan, asking a guy is derabanan. It's your onig Shabbos. There's a different, perhaps, heter for that, right? You know, that's why you have to be familiar with all the stadim. It could be there's a different heter of owning Shabbos. You might have hot food on Shabbos, it'll ruin your Shabbos meal, right?
It's only Shabbos. Everything
is. No, it has to be for the chayuvi of Shabbos, which is part of the Suda.
just one last thing. As far as the indirect benefit, let's say the other way around.
By the way, if I got you a little confused today to realize how fine-tuned all these things about the cigars, I'm happy because, I mean, I should have clarity what you could do, but you should realize how, to me, I'm incredulous when people just ask guys to do things which are clearly awesome. Ramiz, like, they ask these guys, I would love if the lights were turned on here. That, you can't do that, right? You can't say that. You can say, it's really dark in here, right? You can't say, love lights turned on. And you can't just get some guy off the street to do that and be able to read, right? You can't read it if you to do that, because that's a direct benefit, right? So all these type of halakhs, what are you going to say?
Oh, so the other way around, let's say we're turning off a platter. So it may burn, may not burn, but you're going to, you prefer it will do you good, but it may not. The eventuation of taking something off or leaving it on, it's similar to turning off the light. It's not a direct, but it's a good byproduct for you.
So, imutulom lenachri b'shabes, chaval agash mizbazbeis. Right? Whoa, it's like the waste, all this gas is being wasted. He understands it. Your neighbor understands why he's in there. Right? Also, lo mele koma chabas agas in a mafsid. Right? Because that you can't do. To tell the malacha, right? You can't do because she yavin chabas. Right?
You're
going to
pay him, right?
Right?
You're going to pay him, or what?
No, you can't. It's a turn.
I'm going to say the matches. The one he will turn off.
Whatever it is, you can't say to do the close the gas. You say, oh, it's a waste for this gas. You can't ever mention the malacha. By the way, Ramiz, you can never mention the actual malacha. Right? You can't, you can't mention the malacha. But Shlomo, by the way, says that, if you need toilet paper. So, oh, there's no toilet paper at Shabbat. He says, why could you say that? Because technically, you could just pull the roll and use a toilet paper. He says, you could use a toilet paper, it would be pretty gross.
It's not terrific.
You can keep using a toilet, you can keep pulling the roll, Because they could say, this is how we understand. As long as it could be done, Remiza works. Or Yashav is much more, machmer on it. And Amisha also, you see by this tshuva of the air condition, seems to be machmer as well in cases where it's the definition of secondary benefit. Now, how would one come out? So I would always say, we have a machlikis achrenim. Now, Amir Lakum is a dinder abanan. Okay. Shlomo Zalman was a very big person. So you can rely on him in cases of need. So what would be a case? He had sufficient need. Whatever it is, he's big shoulders to rely on. It's not a shayla v'derais over here. It's a shayla v'derabanan. So Ramiza could be relied on, even if I would say, like Shlomo Zalman, as long as you do the conditions correctly, right? You can never mention the malacha. You can't call the guy in telling him, I keep Shabbos. And I get to come here, I have to talk to you about something. It's helpful if you know a guy who's your neighbor. Even if he understands what you're doing, you can't articulate that. So if you get the guy in, offer you a drink, Bob. Bob's coming. He's going to come and drink your house, and he knows what's going to happen. You know how he knows? Because the past 6 weeks, you called him in for the same thing. But he's still benefiting when he comes into the house. And he comes into the house, and Bob gets his drink.
What is it this time?
He offers him scotch, a little, whatever he likes, coffee. So he's once in there. And then you do Ramiza. But again, the Ramiza can't be something, even if Shlomo Zalman's not going to say, if it couldn't have been done otherwise, the toilet paper you could use. Not so pleasant to use the same toilet paper. Keep going, right? The gas is not your primary benefit. If the gas is on or off, you're not benefiting. You're bothered by the fact that it's being wasted, right? You can't have a direct benefit. But if it's dark and it turns on light, we might should say if it's boiling hot in there and forgetting any heterim, that room that they still have these individual units in the apartments, Not central here, right? Mm-hmm. So that room, you don't have to go into that room. You have to tell them, it's hot in this room. You wouldn't go into that room otherwise, right? So if you need the room, maybe you can rely on the chayla this way, that way. But I'm reminding you. So bottom line is over here, there's two major issues to deal with. One is telling a guy. Another one is benefiting from a guy, right? So we saw that the telling a guy includes Ramiza pointing, mentioning it if it's direct benefit, but indirect benefits, right, when you do a remiza without mentioning the malacha, could very often work. The scope of that is a machlokes acharonim. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was a big person, and in cases of need, if you do it correctly, that would be the best thing to do. Okay, hold it.